And let us pray. Our most kind grace of Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask to forgive you. We fall short of that, Lord. Lord, we ask to be with us to conduct business of the county, that everything we do be in accordance with your will. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Need approval of the regular meeting for April the 4th.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Ms. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Need approval of the meeting for April the 18th.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Take it.
Second, Ms. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
The vouchers, have y'all looked at it?
Yes. Motion.
We've got a motion, Ms. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Aye. Aye.
Any constitutional officer here would like to speak? Need a motion to go into public hearing?
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen?
Take it.
Take it, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Petition by Wayne and Theresa W-H-I-R-L-E.
World.
Thank you.
The E is solid.
Requesting special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.3.5 special exceptions of the Dix County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA 1 district, in accordance with the petition dated 4/12/2024. Be located on the property described as follows: Dix County Parcel Number 25/09/13/44/23/00/00/0160/522 Northeast 796th Street, Old Town, Florida 32680. Commission District 1, Mr. Jerry Stevenson.
You got any opposition?
I have none recorded, sir.
Anybody here oppose it? Is anybody on the phone? Y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor.
Petition by Robert Merriman. Requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.3.5 special exceptions of the County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA zone district, in accordance with the petition dated 4/10/2024, to be located on the property described as follows: Dixon County Parcel Number 19/13/12/2952/00/0-Delta/0110/129 Southeast 237th Street, Old Town, Florida 32680. Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
A petition by Simone Simon, special exceptions of the development regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in agricultural zoning district in accordance with the petition dated 4/17/2024 to be located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 13/09/13/40/51/00/00/06/00/270 Northeast 799th Street, Old Town, Florida 32680. Commission District 1, Mr. Jerry Stevenson.
You all have any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here oppose it? Anyone follow? Y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor.
A petition by Philip W. Abbott, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.4.5 special exception of Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an agricultural zone district in accordance with the petition dated 4/17/2024. To be located on the property as described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 31091003360000050 438 Southwest Highway 361, Steamhatch, Florida, 32359, Commission District 5, Mr. David Osteen.
I have had offered this enough, about 6-7 different phone calls opposing this. Are y'all here? Mr. Phillips? Or Mr. Philip Padgett? Anyway, I'm going to make the motion to deny this one.
Got a motion to deny, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye. Application for variances. Petition by Harold Berry, located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 19-13-12-29-94-33-60-39-SE 892 Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a variance for the functional requirement. Setbacks from 25 feet to 5, and to reduce the side setbacks from 10 to 5 by petition dated 4-11-2024, which is located within section 4.7.7 RSF-MH, subparagraph 2 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with section 12.3 variance procedures, Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch.
Any opposition? Anyone here? Y'all heard anything?
No.
Anybody on the phone? Motion to approve.
We're doing a motion, Mr. Hatch to approve. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye. Motion to go back to the board.
We got a motion to go back to the board, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2024-34.
No.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2024-36.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Skip the next one. Resolution 2024-38.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Gentlemen, you have before you the second reading on Ordinance 2024-04. This is the Suwannee Water and Sewage Board Ordinance, in which the only change was on the seat numbers that were running. It went from 1, 2, and 5 to 1, 4, 5 on the presidential election years and 2 and 3 on off years. Ordinance 2024-04, Dixie County, Florida. Ordinance of the Board of County Commissioners of Dixie County, Florida, repealing and replacing its entirety the Ordinance Number 2023-06, further repealing any language in conflict with this ordinance and replacing said ordinance with Ordinance 2024-04, providing for boundaries, definitions of objects and purposes of the district, governing bodies, organization of the governing body, powers of the board, collection of rates and charges, connection with sewer and water systems, audit, severability, and providing an effective date. Gentlemen, if it's your pleasure to pass this, we would need to take a vote.
Motion.
We got a motion to pass it. Mr. Hatch, second Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Okay, I'm recording that as a 5-0, gentlemen.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's all I have on that.
Mr. W.C.?
Yes. What I want to talk to you guys about, and I'm sure I mentioned this back whenever I got that contract, the price has fell pretty dramatically, and I want to change it. And what I have come up with is like on a third basis. Third for the county, third for me, third for my equipment. If it goes down, everybody goes down. If it goes up, everybody goes up. You know, I don't want to talk about different prices and then it falls so bad, then we've got to change that again.
Yep.
You know, or then it goes right up, and then y'all don't get the benefit of that. So.
Right. I understand, because my supplies, they go up and down, up and down. Any minute, steel price can go up or down. Yeah.
Well, I make a motion that we do that.
We got a motion to accept WC's
a third
offer.
That's why most like fishing vessels and all the other stuff.
Discussion.
And we're going to second Mr. Wood. Now we're in discussion.
All right. Tana.
Yes, sir.
Can we do that?
We would have to draft an amendment to the contract. That's not something that we cannot do. I mean, it would be only through the duration of this contract. If y'all did it, we would have to be readdressed when this one comes up for.
60. When does this one come up again?
September. July.
Yeah.
Let's see, how would we know whenever you do this for the third? Do you give us the value?
He gonna go get it when he sells the metal. He gets a check.
y'all get it every time.
No, the weight ticket.
How do we know what the number is? The market
you
know value.
What? You'll get a weight ticket for every load ticket that tells you what they paying me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how much it is on there.
Okay.
Y'all gotten that every time.
Yes, sir, and I've looked at them.
And I will continue to do that.
So we can't do nothing, what you're saying, Ms. Chana, until September anyway, right?
No,
can we fix it now?
We can do a change order, but what I'm saying is we would have to put it back out again or up for renewal when it comes up for renewal. We have to renegotiate if, in fact, there's another person who puts in for it. Right now he's under a contract.
Okay, so we can fix this contract now till September, then September, make me understand, September, then we'd, if someone else comes, puts in for it, then we'd have to re-advertise it in September?
Right, because basically we're under contract with WC until September.
Okay.
Okay, and it's very comparable to any of our other state contracts or anything else when they have a change order.
Okay.
So we would do a change order for that, and then...
1 year with an option.
If it is, then, and I apologize. Let me see, we've drafted this.
In Section 3, it expires on September 30th of 2024 with the option of the county to extend the agreement for an additional term of 1 year.
Okay. Okay. So that answers that question, and it would be good if, in fact, within 60 days before the term, which would be in September, if Mr. WC said, hey, I'm going to keep it for another year, then you need to move forward with that.
Okay.
But after that, then we would have to go back.
And re-advertise it. So right now, we can fix this without re-advertising it, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fix it for the next year, same contract.
Yeah.
If you choose to.
I mean, this will stand as far as the change order will stand through the terms of the contract. So it will be fine. The change order will be fine throughout the terms of this contract. So if he opts to renew, then it would still stay in place for the following year.
Okay.
But after that, the contract is expired because there's not another option.
Yeah.
We would have to go back out.
I got you. I understand.
And we would renegotiate, and it may be that we keep the same terms, but would be renegotiated and rebid, re-advertise the whole.
Any more discussion? You got a motion? You got a second? All in favor?
Now, I have a request, if I may. Yesterday, my second full load came all the way back from the mill because it was rejected for a piece of water softener about that big. About that big. And I had one way back come back home for a water wire.
Mm.
Okay? I mean, they ain't joking.
Well,
Now, they're out there now unloading that whole loot to get that piece out of there. They got these little gadgets that will tell you right where it is, how big it is, and all that through that trailer. So when you go up on the scale, it sets off an alarm. It's they call it radiation, out of those water softeners. It's unbelievable. So anyway, my request is, could we get some signs put up at our sites, water softeners only and wire only? Because it is, the water softeners ain't that hard to get out. You can dig them right out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But a piece of wire, 6 or 8 foot long, watered up, it'll drag a half a semi-load of stuff with it when you're trying to pull it out. And it's very difficult. And I think everybody has to put everything in a certain location. What's the difference in having to put the wire over here? They've always done that. And the water softener over here. They used to do that.
Yep.
Now they just pile it all.
All
there's a couple of sites where the attendants have got them putting it where it ought to be. I ain't blaming nobody, but if we get a sign, maybe it'll help.
Okay.
Ain't they loading those trucks with the church?
How
y'all loading the trucks?
I load it with enough of them.
Okay. Maybe it's watered up in something and it's overseen.
Yeah.
What do we do with that material there, like the water softener? What happens
to
that?
That's
fiberglass.
Yep.
I throw it over in a pile, and it's been there for years and years. I don't know what we do.
I was going to say something on that.
Yeah.
I've got a grain mill.
Okay.
I fight this every day. People sit in the rain when they say, well, it needs to go here, it needs to go here, it needs to go here. But you go out and deal with them people that come out that want to throw it where they're going to throw it, they're going to throw it wherever they want to throw it. You got 60-something-year-old people working at your roll-off site, and when they try to enforce the rules in there, they get cussed out.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what the problem is right there. And until y'all address the problem, it's not going to be fixed.
And you know, the people working at these sites, when they get cussed out, they're going to walk off.
Yep.
You can't blame them.
Yeah.
They ain't going to fist fight over putting trash in the wrong place. It's got to come from here, and they got to hear you. I don't know how, but it's a real problem, guys. It's a real problem.
How do you address it, Tim? Call the law? You know, they start cussing and fussing? I mean, tell us.
That's what I tell them, they just call the law.
Yeah.
I mean, because if I go out there, I caught one throwing a tire and a dumpster one night, he called me an effing retard. That's hard to take.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's hard to take.
Well, we can get a thing where they can't go, can't go and dump more.
As far as wiring all goes, I mean, it's supposed to go to Greenville. I talked to John at Greenville the other day. He said he'd take all that wire. It's got the fence post in it, the old plastic water tanks. So we'll try to get that cleaned up, and I'll try to get some signs.
Put it in there.
Get a big box out here.
If I can find one.
Yeah. If they won't put it in, I'll load it in it.
We got an old bucket truck. I mean, we can go get it and do it with that.
I think a sign saying, put it here.
That'd help.
You know, wire only, water softener only might help.
Okay. Well, we got the elephant in the room to me is the tenants getting cussed out. How do we handle that? How do we get that fixed? What you're saying is a sign, Cardinal Family fixes the sign because that's obvious on all the signs we got in place already, like the speed limit sign on 65A, same thing, that will patent in mind. But how do we fix that problem? You said, it's up to us to fix it. So let's.
I think we put a sign out there and tell them.
They ain't gonna read a sign. That sign is not gonna do you a lot of good.
Sign is for the people that want to do the right thing.
They need to know that they can't.
And if they don't
know, they're
gonna
be
back
on
Saturday.
Have a no pass order on. Yeah.
So we're at that point. We got the sign there. How do we enforce the sign? That's the $100 question. If it's calling the law, call the law. Get the law involved.
And if you call the law and they're gone by the time they get there, You don't know who it is.
See if I can get a tag number.
Get a tag number and a name.
That's all I need. Continuing problem, no trespass.
That's the only way we can enforce it, gentlemen, is through.
Yeah, yeah, they, that, when they go to doing that, we try to get the tag number. You can't come breaking in the sites at night, and you go, you call the law, and they come pick them up. The next day, they're out because they don't want to do nothing to them. They don't want to spend, you know, and I'm sure it's a lot of paperwork.
Well, that's right, but at the end of the... The discussion was, it's up to us to fix it. So, so y'all wanted us to give an answer to how to fix this problem. And I think we've already addressed that on our end. So is it the board that needs to put more rules, signs, blah, 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 blah? How do we fix the problem that y'all, so it's not going to be fixed until we fix it?
All I'm asking for is the signs.
Well, we'll do the signs. That's no issue.
And the signs ain't no problem.
The signs got to be there in order to law to enforce it anyway. Yeah. So I'm 100% for the signs.
In the beginning, if you ain't got a sign, you ain't got no case.
That's right.
True, sir.
Matter of fact, for offset, we did put no fiberglass tanks in metals, and the last time I went there, it was gone.
So is it the board's responsibility to run around and make sure all the signs are in place?
That's
so,
my responsibility.
Or your attendance. So if you're missing a sign, tell them to get with you and put a new sign up. But I think the board has put everything in place to stop this on our side. Mm-hmm. Right or wrong?
Yep.
You've been part of this board.
Not near his side. I ain't saying they ain't ever been.
Right.
They ain't now.
So let's get the signs up, and then y'all enforce the signs, because you got the backing of the board to do that, right? You was here, you know what I'm saying.
My point was, you know, as a man speaking to another man, it's hard to get cussed.
Oh, I know.
We get cussed a lot.
I get that side of it. So how do
we get cussed too.
Yeah, so how do we help the 60-year-old attended out there, and it could be 50-year-old. I'm just using a number because that's the number you used. So how do we do that? We put the signs up. We don't want them cussed. We don't want to be cussed either. We don't know about it.
You just give them instructions on what to do. That's
the best.
There you go.
The best we can do.
Ain't nothing on
it. Right. I'm not sure you're on my side like I have before when I'm going in there getting up garbage out in sight after hours. I will find the paper. I will stand behind it. I ain't gonna let them walk. You'll catch them. I'm gonna prosecute. That's the only way you're gonna stop it is prosecute a couple of them, then they'll quit. If you don't do nothing, they ain't gonna stop.
While I'm here, can I say another thing?
Yep.
Okay. I've got a trash compactor identical to the one that y'all have out here. Painting more in out the inside of it where the ram goes back into. I've been told y'all needed one. I've got it for sale. I've got a good thick wall trash hauling trailer, live one, for less than half of what they cost. If y'all interested in them, I need to know. I've been holding them now for a couple of months.
And I've seen the trailer. Yep. Trailer's in good shape, but I have not seen. Tim, have you seen the compactor?
I have.
It's in good shape.
It looks good.
But Tim, wasn't you gonna get that fellow to come look at it, and then we was gonna make a
hot shot. Yeah, but they haven't reached back out to me.
I'll reach out to them, get them to come and look at it, and it's good. I don't have an issue.
We got anything in the budget for a trailer or a compactor? Oh.
We are about exhausted our budget with solid waste.
So we
have to do some creative looking to see if we could even...
What do you have to have for that WC?
25 for the compact, 45 for the trailer.
Okay, 45 and 25.
That's less than $100. I'll pay for it right now. Ain't gonna work, is it?
That's more zero.
And Tim, how much you got left in your budget?
Last ours was 55. We've had
We ain't even halfway yet.
That's right.
We ain't even halfway through the year yet.
Maintenance and repair, that's what's killing us.
Yeah. But you gonna have that guy
to come look at it?
Yeah.
Let him get with you, Dr. Steve.
Y'all just let me know. Yeah. I'll hold it a while longer.
Paul, can we look at other avenues, see if we can get the funding, or?
We'll meet with finance and look at every avenue we can, sir.
Okay.
So, Mr. Mills, I'll get with our attorney. We'll get these amendments done to the contract. When it's drafted and ready, I'll just give you a call to come by to execute it.
Okay.
And we'll bring it back to the board.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Florida Department of Transportation. Anybody here? Okay.
Waiting patiently.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me begin by introducing myself. My name is Jamie Driggers. I'm the Planning and Environmental Management Engineer for the Florida Department of Transportation District 2 Region.
Hey, y'all hold it down. We can't hear.
I've also got some DOT experts here with me as well in case there's some tough questions that may arise that could occur. But what I want to do is provide you all an update specific to the Sherrod Creek Bridge Replacement Project and the California Swamp Bridge Replacement Project, also known as Sandslide, locally. There's a couple things. So I want to give you a status update on where we stand from the design perspective. I also wanted to introduce some challenges that we've encountered and then some potential solutions. So as far as the status update of where we are today, we're approaching the 60% plans mark. As we go through our phase plan development, we're required to do estimate updates. And as you all can imagine, you know, what you're seeing and experiencing in the grocery stores, we also see in the construction industry. Unfortunately, these projects have gone up substantially in cost in a very, very significant magnitude. We've been very fortunate. Ms. Melissa Morgan's here. She represents the Bridge Off-System Replacement Program. It's a very, very valuable asset for our rural counties and these programs. And she's been able to secure $3.5 million to go towards the Delta. And to put it in perspective, the entire contingency for that program statewide, and there are hundreds of these bridges like this, is $5 million. So we've been able to secure $3.5 million. We are still significantly short. So I wanted to introduce three opportunities to help solve this challenge. The matter of fact, would the county be willing to contribute to that Delta? And we're talking several million dollars. To do that, it'd be an end-of-year obligation. We're going to a letting. We'd have to have all the funding before we advertise the project, which is the first of 2025. And we're hopefully trying to go to construction, actually break the ground in May or June of next year. So that's one option. County, give us the money, make up the Delta. I just had to introduce it. The second solution is this. There are two bridges. We were very fortunate to package them together for efficiency. We could sacrifice the funding on one bridge to make the second bridge whole. We could prioritize one. The problem statement of that is you take a project that's currently has funding on it, it's an unfunded need at that point. It goes back into the competitive program. Is it 5 years, is it 8 years, is it 10 years? There's no guarantee. The risk for you all as a county, we replace one bridge. Both of these bridges are structurally deficient and continuing to accelerate as far as efficiency. If we have a storm event or something happens, we ultimately health, public safety is priority number one. We have to shut the bridge, you still can't access your shared credit. That's the challenge statement of that second option. The third option is this. When we came to the board back in May of last year, we presented a scenario that would essentially provide continuous access, all the way down the roadway. That would basically build a bridge just for that temporary access while we build the new structure. We've come up with an avenue that if we did not do that, we could cover that delta of need. So you'd basically be looking at a scenario for 18 months, we would completely close off access to the park, the use of the road, and we would build them concurrently as one. You just wouldn't have that continual access. We absolutely understand, especially most recent discussions, but we are backs against the wall. So it's either, to summarize, county comes with the money, had to introduce it. Second option, we kill one project to fund one wholly. Don't know when the second one comes back, so then you're just at risk. If we have an emergency or bin or something, the road would still be closed. And then third is understanding the inconvenience, the public impact. For an 18-month duration, we completely close the road. That cost savings of not having to build that temporary structure would go back and towards replacing both of these bridges at once. So in an 18-month period of inconvenience, we replace these structures, we get another 70-plus year lifespan, would be the hope.
The second bridge you're talking about, is that the Tina Highway one?
No, sir, they're both.
I was just fixing to ask him about that one.
Yeah. They're the concurrent bridges. It's California Swamp.
Yeah, it's the one prior to Sherman Creek, the smaller one.
Yeah.
Build them together.
Me personally, I don't like the idea of bumping that off there because we had a road in my district that they got approved 349 way before I got on the board. And because we didn't have surveys right, we had to go get it surveyed and resubmit it back to the state. That's been a lot of years. We spent that money. That road comes up as number one priority every time we do it, and it has yet to be put back on the roster to get paved. Mm-hmm. So who knows when that bridge may be done again. What is the options on maybe putting in a temporary boat ramp?
Yeah, that's what I was...
But you can't get to it.
Can't get to it.
Airboats can get out that channel.
You can't drive down the side of the ditch down Charlotte Island Road if your first bridge is way up the road up there.
That bridge...
Both bridges are on the same road.
Yep.
Yeah. And one right after another, though, ain't it?
Yeah.
Also,
is there any other funding or grants y'all can get for temporary bridges?
In being transparent, in the amount of time we have to maintain that letting plan, that delivery plan, it would be tough. You know, typical grant pursuits, opportunities outside that I'm aware of, from based on my background within DOT, you know, you're talking multiple years of pursuits to get that opportunity. We would need the funding by the end of this calendar year. I'm not saying it can't be done. It just, it'd be a lot of partnership work between both of us. And the risk is, what if we can't get that? The reason it's important right now is Ms. Amy Williams, she's the design project manager on this job. She's working towards the expense plan development. Not only, we have to make that point of decision of which path we go, but then we incur design costs, supplementals, all these different things to change back and forth.
Is there any way that y'all could reach out to the Army Corps of Engineers? I know they do a lot of temporary bridges with the Army and stuff like that. You have any resources?
I'm being fully transparent.
I'm just asking because I don't know.
Here's your challenge. There are a couple thousand bridges like this around the state that are all system, locally sponsored, locally managed, your jurisdiction. And this is a constant conversation needs. We're not the only entity on these. This is not specific to Dixie County. This is happening statewide.
Yes.
There are other bridges that are currently closed that provide service access, you know, for use, public health, safety, all these emergency response, all these different things that are definitely prioritized around the state. So to answer your question, is we're competing with them as well.
Hutch, didn't you have something to say?
Against my own boat ramp. We're not boat ramp making use of it while the bridge is in place.
And they could get to that one before either bridge.
Another thought is, if FEMA comes through and they're going to be out there working on SURD, they're not going to have access if you close that road.
Sure, and I think that was some of the concerns and questions that Chief Garner and Chief Brown had during the conversation previously with these folks, and I think Chief Garner may have a plan in place that if we get to that point on asking for some additional time with the funding, so we don't lose it, and I think considering the circumstances, we should be able to get that extension granted. And this here, we're expecting, if the board chooses to go with the option of closing the bridge down, some of this stuff would be able to take place prior to June of 2025. So there would be some of the work completed prior to 2025 bridge closure.
The first bridge on that road is going to be replaced. What span is it? How wide is the first bridge that's going to be on that road? I think the one at Sherd, it's really wide, but the first one, how big is it?
The California Swamp?
Yeah.
I saw on this quote.
The proposed
bridge, yeah. I'm just trying to get an idea what kind of span we got to cover, put a temporary there, and then possibly put a temporary boat ramp at the other one.
Rope 22 foot wide, and you've got a 4 foot shoulder on both sides.
So 11-foot lane and 4-foot shoulder before you get to the barrier.
30-foot.
Pretty typical that way.
Where's the plan at? Yeah, do they have some plans on these bridges?
Yes, sir. We have a typical section as well as some plan details. And this is all assuming, what we'll show you is assuming you build that temporary structure. What we're asked for today is not to build the temporary, that savings to build into the construction if we all agree to close the road for that duration. And we'll provide, our staff will give this to y'all, but we can absolutely. Are you going to see it now or?
Yeah. Okay.
So if you close the road down, you can do both these projects, both these boat ramps, in 18 months.
Both bridges in 18 months.
18 months.
Working concurrently. Single contractor working on both of them.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Same time.
But.
This is the shark creek.
Mr. Brown, would that, if we close that down, we closed it down, get both them bridges done in 18 months. Would that affect? If we got our money coming in to start working on Sherb, would that mess us up on that money getting that?
No, it's a box culvert.
Close to it.
Where is the fish going? Is this backwards?
Is that north? Is that south?
So that's before who owns that property?
I've got a good relationship with
them. Okay. So if we do this bridge and the Sherb bridge, still actual fish farm, no problem.
Before.
Thank you.
Both would be shut down.
Okay. Yeah, both. And
before they shut this road down.
People where they still access to their boats and petition.
As
Mr. Gaines said, there are options to apply for extensions of that money based on such circumstances as this to prolong the usage of that money. And I don't think there would be any complications given the circumstances, but it would be
exactly.
We would have to apply for and ask for.
I just didn't want to shut the road down and then mess up our money from redoing our whole beach.
Either way,
because if we got two projects where the roads are shut down, we can't fix that, and then we lose that money.
We'll be really late.
We're looking
at 1 year.
Next year.
So that gives us an entire year to get the funding, get the engineering done, and the construction done. I would like to think we can, but I've been told otherwise at times. So, again, but if not, there are options to extend the funding so that we can do that later. That will require approval.
Yep.
We would have to submit the request for that, and then we would have to approve that. But I do not personally feel like we're going to get involved.
Okay. And Hutch, you said that if we shut it down, there is a boat ramp that the boats can get to, airboats. Okay. I'd rather sacrifice 18 months and get both of them done while we can get them done and done.
The creek has had their own, they work with us.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we take care of a regular thing. Yep. So they can work with us.
Because if we sacrifice and only fix one and not the other, Then a hurricane comes through and knocks the other one down. Guess what? The road's shut down anyway. And then, like you said, we don't know when we're going to get the funding to fix it. So while we got the money to fix both of them, sacrifice 18 months, get the both of them fixed. Then we'll have our island fixed up nice. And then within 2 years, it all everything goes right.
We have a nice place for our citizens to enjoy again.
That's my opinion. Everybody's got one. Barbara?
What is the impact on people traveling if the road is closed?
There's nobody lives behind. Is that what you're saying? Who lives behind?
Yeah, there ain't.
No.
There's nobody.
Got a farm land back here.
Oh, okay.
Do you live there?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
do you live there?
No, I don't live there, but I mean, I'd have access.
Well, in transparency, just before you vote, and, you know, there is a private property interest. We also have to work, you know, the park perspective federal. So the in addition to this approval, you know, the county would be on board to say, hey, from a legal right of way, we have the access opportunity to go, you know, cloud prior to work. And additionally, we have to work with the property owner to make sure that we have the same level of authority considering the impact to access their property. And then also on that federal side, you know, and the parks pretty much on the federal side pretty much told us that whatever the county says is the right thing to do, they'll go along with it. So there are two or three other actions that would follow this, but this is the starting point of that next conversation. Just so everybody's
aware. Who else is a property owner besides Jody?
The county is
a federal. I'm not, my mom is.
The county.
So you got to agree to it twice.
Huh?
You got to agree to it twice.
I'm going to carry those cord anyway. We had a contract, you ain't paid it. 30 years. A dollar a year.
Less than $100. I'll pay that now.
I'm going to do like IRS. They're going to be going kind of penalties.
What y'all want to do right now? This man's waiting on us.
I think, honestly, with the fishbone option there, they're good with citizens using the fishbone with still access to golf there. There's no sense in jeopardizing the funding on neither one of the bridges because I know this has been going on for 5 or 6 years talking about these bridges. Jamie, you know, exactly, we met on this probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago, on this same project. But timing is awful. There's never a good time to shut it down anyway.
Yeah.
No.
It's a no-brainer to just do the project. But it's not a two-year project. Let's get that really clear right now because it's a year before they even get started.
Well, I'm just saying it'll be shut down for basically two when they shut it down.
Well, the sheriff's going to be shut down longer than that.
Exactly.
Because it's already shut down.
Yeah, so it's shut down.
True. So you're actually talking about a 3 year on Sherwood itself. They can't access the foot traffic for another year at least. And they can still use the boat ramps for another year. I say sure up the federal side of it, Hutch, if you can.
I'll reach out to Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And let's roll with it. Plan B, I guess, is what the option was, wasn't it?
C.
Open to other options. I mean,
of course you are.
We're narrowing down. Those are the most practical three that we could implement it for the amount of time we have.
Is that a motion?
Motion.
Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any more discussion?
What exactly is the motion now?
Motion is to shut it down. And get it done, get both bridges done.
We won't shut it down until they start their work.
Yeah, it won't be shut down. It won't be shut down until they got everything in place until.
And no more of the road than we have to, just right up to that nearest bridge.
Yes.
So you can still drive in and worry about
that. Any more discussion?
In that discussion, also, you got to remember that federal people, Hutch's, make where they can still put their boats in and out of fish bump.
Yes. All in favor?
No.
And Jody opposes it.
Until I check with Mama, I mean, if you got people wanting
he's listed that property for sale, and this is going to hinder that quite a bit.
But it ain't going to get shut down until it may be another year, maybe a year and a half before they got everything.
It's got to be done, but I'm gonna, before I make my decision, I got to check with her.
Okay.
On that side of it.
Okay.
It ain't my call.
Okay.
It is your call right now.
Right now, but well, I got to take consideration.
Well, you'll take that.
You've got to take consideration. The property owner is behind that bridge.
Yep.
So that's my call. I'm going to wait.
Yes, 4-1 vote. Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Don't pass anyway.
Thank you.
I don't
want you to leave yet. I want to talk. I mean, don't leave the meeting yet. After the meeting, I'd like to speak to you about the bridge I have down there in Gino.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anti-drug.
Morning. You might not know who I am. My name is Sheila Frierson, and I'm a nurse working with the Dixie County Anti-Drug Coalition in the capacity of the Community and Business Partnerships. And we want to thank you all for the ability to be able to access some of the opioid abatement dollars, and we want to give you a feedback on what we've done. We were able to purchase a product called Datira, which is used, has been being used in our community, but we were able to take those dollars. This is a deactivation system that is a proven product, enables you to totally inactivate the drug so it keeps it out of the wrong hands. Plus, a recent study on our coastal areas is that the redfish that were tested were analyzed and determined that they had opiates, high blood pressure medication, heart medication, and antipsychotics present in their meat. So we feel like, and it's because people flush drugs down the toilet, and they say, well, I'm on a septic system or I'm on a sewer system. Most sewer plant people will tell you it messes up their aquifer. So within their ecosystem within the sewer system, so we don't want to flush it, even if we have a sewer or a septic system. So we have purchased these, and we are handing them out to everyone. We are located in the back of the Dixie County Amerist Bank. You'll see a sign for the Dixie County Anti-Drug Coalition. You're welcome. They are free to pick them up. We also give information on why it's important and on this, and I'm going to leave some outside if anyone is interested. It shows you the route of exactly how these products get into the fish. So we want to make this available to anyone, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to purchase these. And when I leave today, I'm going to a meeting with over 60 people, seniors primarily, and talk to them and introduce this product as part of what we were able to do with the dollars that we were awarded. We're also working in collaboration with the Dixie County EMS, primarily with the Peer Medicine Program, and Allison and I are going out to targeted areas where we know that that needs help, areas such as Swanee Gardens and some of those areas, and we're going to be doing some campaigns primarily with them, with the product of destroying your medications, but also on Narcan and overdose programs.
Ms. Sheila, how do I know I need to take this after eating a fish?
This right here, is the way to dispose of it. You're going to open this product like this. You're going to take your unused medications, old medications that are sitting on your shelf. You're going to stick them in here. Now, the fish I can't help. We're in trouble about this. But it has a deactivation capsule in here.
You're trying to eliminate it from getting into the water.
You pour your pills in there, add water, press it down, and once you shake it up, it totally makes the drug inactive. It can be thrown in our normal trash system now.
Okay.
So
this is just more for prescription, unused prescription
unused
pills.
Unused prescription, and it's being used. I know EMS uses it. I give quite a large quantity to the sheriff's office because they use it for disposal of contraband. We work, but like I say, we're working with EMS and we're going to be doing some targeted trainings and stuff. But thank you so much. We appreciate y'all.
Yep. Thank you.
Ma'am.
Mr. Steve.
Morning, Board.
Morning.
Well, first of all, I want to say I don't like all these disparaging remarks about 60-year-old. I'm on that mark. I don't like that. Mine is short today, I hope. Currently, we have 924 active accounts. That is down by 3. The houses were torn down, and the people are just selling the property. The contractors, they are rocking and rolling. In 2 weeks, they did 176 units. They've all been inspected. They have all passed the manufacturer's inspections. So they've done more in 2 weeks than we've been able to get done in 5 months. Also, want to thank Mr. Hatch and Sherry Finn for getting us the roll-off, because we have a lot of material that we have to get rid of. Also, on that note, we do have a lot of complaints. People don't like how the contractors are doing this. I want it on public record. Swanee Water and Sewer has nothing to do with this. All we do is collect information and send it off. The FDEM is in charge. The state is in charge of these contractors. The state is paying for these contractors. We have no involvement. And that's about it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Greg?
Good morning. Excuse me. The ESC, pretty good meeting last week. We had 5 contractors of 10, so it looks like we got some pretty good interest as far as that project goes. The bid opening is scheduled for May 14th, so we'll be having that in the next couple of weeks. Move that project ahead. We all attended the groundbreaking at the fire station the other day, so hometown fire station. That project is moving ahead. Contractors are busy on that now. CDBG project, we're still completing the environmental review, waiting on the responses back from all the coordinating agencies on that, but our plans are almost complete. We're estimating that we should be ready to advertise that in about 2 months. Right. 82nd Avenue, house chairs, working with DOT local programs office and Paul's office. Our part of the plans are ready to go, but we're trying to look at combining the LAP project that the county's been trying to get procured, may combine those two, look at options that work in Paul's office.
Yeah. Mr. Greg, if I may, what he's talking about is Northeast 592nd, Chapas Road.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, we've actually advertised that project 3 different times without any responsive bids. So I've spoken with a couple of different people at DOT, and they suggest us look at the possibility of maybe combining both of those projects at the same time. So maybe it would make it more appealing for the same contractor that would come in and do Northeast 82nd to be able to do Chapas Road
at the same time. Yep.
So that's an option for us.
So,
yes.
By putting them together, is that going to push chairs right
back?
No,
we're ready to go.
We've
sent it out to bid 3 times.
Okay.
All
right.
We need to see some asphalt going down.
Yeah.
It's
just
going
to take
us a few days to document.
Okay.
To iron them together.
As long as it don't delay it.
592nd would not delay this bid because 592nd is ready to go.
Okay.
All right. And all it is to widen it out.
Shoulders.
Yeah,
I agree. I know.
Add shoulders.
But I'm tired of hearing the people on Chapas Road.
Payment
Martin.
Okay.
All right. Yes, sir.
The sheriff's office evidence building, we're finally, the sheriff's issues. But, well, I'm waiting on them to review the final floor plan and hopefully do that finished up. Basically all I have. The only other thing I had last meeting that Mr. Ritter come talk to you. I had left that meeting. I do have a meeting this afternoon at 1:30 at Paul's office.
Yes.
Mr. Ritter.
I will try to make that. Yes, sir.
And we'll see if we can kind of get him pointed in the right direction and see what things that the county may be able to help him do for grants and all that.
I appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all I have. Michelle, have something for me?
Thank you, Ms. Craig. Locklear.
My face tells me.
No. Thank you very much.
They'll just push and get that fund that I need for that Cow Creek of boat ramp down there. I need it as soon as possible. Thank you, ma'am.
No, thank you. Miss Cindy's not here, is she? No. Mr. Freeman? Yeah, okay. Mr. Hutch? Mr. Hutch?
I got a couple things, Stevie. That, the culvert called 353 right there around the G&T store where we had all that flooding. Maybe somebody talked to me yesterday about getting those cleaned out.
Where's it at?
Well, one, when you turn on 353 before you get to that first residence, that one goes in there towards Bowes. Okay. It's, ain't a pipe there, it must be 48 inches wide. It's half full of dirt. Then there's the one right in front of that second Jim Walter house that they put stuff in, and then there's one right before you get to Dwight's fence.
Yes.
And on the other side, that one going in the rock pit that we went to cut when the rock pit was higher than that, we're going to run backwards. And there's one on the curve there before you get to Spillers. If we could get those looked at, then that
probably,
you know,
we'll probably have to get the people that cleaned out the other one for that machine.
Well, these like the one on 353, you want to get up some trees and stuff that where you actually get access to it.
Okay.
You just need to look at it. Them people's concerned. I mean, they flooded in there, and they really we ain't done nothing there yet. I know we got some funding coming through the Dwight and them got much funding coming to clean out culverts and what have you. Mark.
1.2.
Yep.
And I had somebody call about a couple of roads, but I'll get you on up.
Is that it?
Okay. Yeah, one more thing. So the signs, we can't keep up on 351 around Wade's old store. We can get some more up. They keep... I'd blame the herd that we wasn't pulling them up. We was putting them out there, and somebody is pulling them up fast, and we can stick them in the ground.
Hang on
the
sign.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Is that it?
That's all I have.
All right. Dwayne Chauncey, he's not here.
He,
Is Mr. Tim? You ain't got nothing?
Tim, I got something. Dan Gilbert contacted me about a place in Lake City that he used to work at to rebuild the hydraulic pumps. And he said he would get you with him to see about getting out of here. I think he mentioned tomorrow, too.
Yeah, I sent you his number, didn't I? I sent you Dan's number.
Yeah, yeah.
But they said this place in Lake City, rather than us going all the way to Daytona, that rebuilds them things and see if we can get a number from them on fixing it.
Okay.
If you get with Dane, he can get you. He said he used to work for it.
Okay.
That it?
That's it.
Mr. Leon?
A couple of quick things. One, since the last time I seen you, I'm at the Floor Plan Management Conference. Just like I suspected, there's some, each year we look at code book and we realize that floor plan management has been integrated more and more into the Florida building code. There's some changes coming to the coastal communities on sizes of structures and placements, and we'll be doing some public outreach and education on that so that everybody's aware of what's coming. You've probably seen that we had training on two different days at the library. I've got to thank the library for allowing us to use their facilities on that. We had code enforcement legal training. That was very interesting.
It was.
But sometimes, like when you have training, you learn about other training. And we've already started that conversation because I'm going to have that second part of the conversation. There's the pretty much enforcement mechanism that are in place, and there's a misdemeanor side of this as well, and we want to make sure that we understand the procedures and the outline for that structure before we have to pay any of our else's attorney fees. So I've already reached out, and ultimately that might put us on delay on the reading of the LDR and code enforcement ordinances to make sure that we have those outlined in there, because we want to go to more misdemeanor infractions, and we want to make sure that those policies are correct. There's no point in us bringing it for you and then having to bring it back and just have to restart cases. There's just no point in that. So I've already reached out to Ms. Jennifer about that. And we'll follow up with that right there. Ms. Kane, I don't know if you had anything you want to add to that.
No, she done an excellent job.
She did.
Very knowledgeable. She's one of these people that's got ABCs for days behind her name. So very, very knowledgeable.
The other person was Scott in the IT. He come over and talked to our local planning agency members, got them their emails all set up for that. That board is excited. We had a full day of training with them. We had full participation, which is really good. That's what we like to see. And we'll be here in the near future setting that up so that that transition will take place. Obviously, we want to have our new codes in place so they're familiar with that. You've got multiple projects coming down that's going to be up for review. I'm going to get them involved in the early stages on letting them see that. The reviews for the GINA project came back. They had errors in the application, so we sent it back. The rezoning over here next to Anderson Columbia, we'll see it coming up here shortly. It's kind of important that we understand what
Anderson Elementary.
Correct.
Okay.
There's 8 acres right next to Anderson Elementary that's coming up for rezoning. I know that's going to create a little controversy with the neighbors right there, but here's the ultimate ugly truth about that. That property transitions to a high density in 2025. Right now, they want to rezone that to 10,000 square feet per lot and do a subdivision and put about 24 houses in there. They secured funding for affordable housing projects, and they have the money to do this project. If they don't get that request right there, they can wait till January and go in there and build apartments. They can, so it's the neighbors right there. I know it was controversial when the subdivision came before us. We're going to have some education on that, and you just have to figure out what you want that area to look like.
That'll let them build 24.
Yeah, if they build it now, then that land is used up, and you move forward. But that high density change was done years ago, and that map takes effect in January. So they can put in a lift station and go to 20 houses per acre. So you do it with 2-story apartment buildings. So no, that would be for, it has to be for affordable housing. So you're gonna see that. So there's a few of the neighbors, like, I'm sure they're gonna come see us ahead of time. We're gonna show them what it is and make the best decisions we make. But the local planning agency, we're kind of showing them how this process works coming down the pipeline as well. Other than that, anything for me?
No, sir.
Nope.
Thank you very much, Mr. Leon. Mr. Brown.
A couple of things. First of all, we'd like to say thank you to everybody that was able to attend. I know some had to work for the groundbreaking ceremony Monday morning. that was the first of many, I hope. They already had the lot pushed off for the building. It's squared up this morning. They have bulldozers running, trees are down, things are moving. We should see things happening pretty quickly. So for all of you that came, I appreciate those that could have done that. I would also like to ask the commissioners that were there. We have two shovels. I have them in the back of my truck. I need your signatures on them if I could.
That was very interesting. They had a groundbreaking ceremony and got to watch all the action and the fire all at the same time.
Yeah. We also got compliments on Saban Hardy's insurance adjuster for the owner. Was very happy that there was no damage to the structure. They were back in business the next morning. They're still not grilling stuff, so their sign on the front that says flavored by fire is on hold. Just taking a picture of it when I seen it on the counter. But yes, sir, it was an interesting afternoon. So. But thank you all for coming. If y'all could, if you have time, immediately after we get those signatures, I appreciate it. We will have another one. Mr. Davey said next 14th we'll be opening bids on the EOC. I think y'all have a meeting on the 16th. I don't know if we can get it in that quick, but I'm all about quick. So we'll see. But we should be able to have another groundbreaking ceremony within a few weeks there. I've already been scolded by a few fire marshal's officers that didn't get a personal invite, so we'll have to add them to the list. But that's the director's fault. She didn't pass it out, not me. So with that being said, there are other parts of our life that we have to deal with. Hurricane season starts June 1st. You should have already gotten it by email. This is your public invite for the pre-hurricane meeting in our office May the 31st. Chief Garner told me 10:30, but the paperwork that I have says 11 o'clock. We will be going to Thomasville, I think, on the 29th to get the final numbers to be able to give y'all on the 31st. We will have lunch at the office that day. So if any of you are able, we would like for y'all to come out and hear what the prediction is. This is a lot of big numbers last I seen, so maybe even last year. But that will be coming. And then the last thing I have, Mr. Bailey covered. The bid opening. The only other thing I have, I've mentioned to you all over time, and I think I mentioned it last meeting about the federally qualified health care situation and you know the limited services that we have in this county. We've been working to try to improve that. It's been a difficult thing to get answers for. 3 weeks ago when I was in Orlando, I met Ms. FQHC, and she assured me she could fix my problems. And on the week after next, Thursday, whatever day that is, we have a meeting in Tallahassee with her regarding the FQHC program, how it operates, what it does, where the board is at, who's on the board, how that gets changed, how the positions get changed, how the doctor's offices are selected and changed, and we are going to move forward with trying to make things happen.
So make it better.
That meeting's been said, and we will be moving forward with that, and hopefully some things will happen to make things even better in this county for folks, whether it be that agency or a different agency. It doesn't matter to me. I want to see better medical care in this community. So if the board has nothing else for me, that's all I have today.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Scott.
I've got two items here. The first one is the action on the grant, the spring grant that we applied for about a month ago with the federal 911, our annual maintenance grant. I just have the terms of the agreement contract we have to sign after they approve the grant. So it's the action on that.
Motion.
We got a motion, okay. Mr. Hatch, second Mr. Osteen. I heard correct.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next thing I have is in the conversation with courthouse security over the last year or so, we've been looking at upgrading the camera system for the sheriff and the stuff that they need for their security. They've looked at several options and some of the avenues with the current system they have, some of the stuff they got with the door system that they got. There's been some conversation with different vendors. I was reached out to by a different vendor, and because of the advancements and the capabilities of this camera system, I think it's the best option. So I met with the sheriff and the county manager yesterday, and we've come to an agreement on that. The sheriff is opted to pay for a portion of that. So the total cost, and this is for a three-year term, so the total cost for the three-year term with the with the cameras, including installation. So I don't have to do the install. They do the install because of the high-tech portion of this camera. $71,359. We have, the county manager's informed, we have $40,000 sitting in a pot of money that's federal money that was specifically designed for certain items, and this is one of the items that can be spent on it. The board, the sheriff has agreed to pay for the remainder, $31,359. So they'll be separated by invoice. They'll get their invoice. We'll get our invoice. So I just need approval to move forward with this project.
Motion. Sorry. Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Scott. Ms. Kay?
I'd like to congratulate the Cross City Centennial Committee for an excellent event that they put on, and Jody, the BMX and Dirt Bike Show was a great addition to that, too. I was told there was only one complaint from one vendor that it was too hot, so that was, I mean, it was a pretty good event. We have added notices to the Dixie County website and to our social media about Parrot Island being closed, and it says basically when you pull up the site, it will say, due to the damage from Hurricane Idalia and as part of our Build Back Better effort, Sherrod Island is closed to all camping and vehicles for an extended time. As long as it does not interfere with recovery efforts, daytime foot traffic is allowed with parking outside of the park. If you have further questions or suggestions about other places to stay, blah, blah, blah. Does that?
That sounds good.
Good deal.
Good. So within 2 weeks, Kelly's not here today, but in 2 weeks we should have notices going out about the short-term overnight rental license. And then last thing is a reminder to everybody that this Saturday we have the Cowboy Country Festival, which will be held at the Cracker House Winery, which is located at the Herring Ranch. Basically, you head towards the river when you come to the Swanee Gables Motel. Turn right there at the gas station, and partway through the S-curves, you'll see signage about it. So I hope everybody can come out. They had a Christmas event, and it got totally rained out by the storm, so they're making a second effort to have a Christmas for the area, so hoping everybody can come out for that. They'll be starts at 9 a.m. Saturday. Kids events, great food, great music, so hope everybody can attend.
I think he said he had over 100 vendors coming.
Yeah. And with their connections through the winery and all of the different vendors, different events they go to, it should be a great event. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Mr. Paul?
Commissioners, if you'll turn to your county manager's report. We'll begin with number one. We request board approval for the purchase of a Volvo VHD 64B dump truck from Nextran Corporation in the amount of $187,545.62. This is based off of Stormwater Task Force recommendation, and this is using the ARPA funds that were allocated for equipment purchase.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Number two, we request board approval to replace the culverts at the 55A canal system at the Sanders property. This is also based on the Stormwater Task Force recommendation, and this will help with the drainage through the Kirby Road canal system that drains.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Number three, we request board approval to reallocate funds from the County Road 351 ARPA project to the purchase of fencing materials from Lankford Farms LLC in the amount of $116.50, and this needs to be made just to clear up documentation for end of the year audit reporting purposes.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Number four is to request board approval of the SmartCop invoices. The first invoice in the amount of $21,503. The second invoice in the amount of $54,304. These have already been paid. This is also just to clear up documentation necessary for audit purposes.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Number five, we request board approval to move forward with the Crowe Dragline Services LLC to install culverts at three separate locations on an hourly basis of $165 per hour, and this is based off of Stormwater Task Force.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
And number six, we request board approval to purchase 1,000 of the pill and stick calendars and 2,500 of the large almanac calendars. Those total up to approximately $6,200, and this is something that the board purchases every year that the citizens look forward to getting.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
That's it for the action items. Now, down to information items. Number one, I just want to give an update on the Madrid Pass. Several weeks ago, we had a meeting in my office with the Army Corps of Engineers. Commissioner Hatton was present. Basically, it just boiled down to there was two ways that we could get funding to get the Madrid Pass dredged. One way is to meet the economic impact study, which was done on two different occasions, and it doesn't appear that we're going to meet that standard. The other way to make it happen is through congressional authority. So in order to do that, we have reached out to our congresswoman and sent multiple emails, made multiple phone calls, trying to get meetings set so we could try to get that moving forward. We've been unsuccessful so far, so if anybody in here has a contact with Congresswoman K-Mac that we could maybe try to get a meeting set with her to get this information in front of her, that would be much appreciated. Also, 349. The paving project, 349 South, 20 Highway. We're actually in the process right now of creating the CEI scope of work and getting an advertisement prepared to be able to get that put out. We have to have CEI in place prior to sending out the design build advertisement, so that should be happening soon. Also, the grant services bid opening will be today at 3 o'clock here in the boardroom, so we're looking forward to getting that and reviewing those packages to see what we can do moving forward. EOC fire station bid opening has already been mentioned for May the 14th. We also have the T-hanger bid opening on May the 14th also. And mosquito control. I want to let y'all know that our mosquito control program is going to be on hold temporarily. Mr. Dwayne Thompson submitted his resignation yesterday as the control director. We have reached out to the Florida Department of Agriculture and Services trying to get options on what we have to do to move forward to be able to start providing that services again. I'll keep the board updated as I get the information or the plan on what we have to do to move forward with that. I would also like to introduce Ms. Katie Roberts, sitting directly behind me here beside Ms. Martha. If you'll remember, I asked the board a few weeks ago about bringing her on for her to fulfill her obligation for internship throughout the summer months. She started with us this week, so I'd like to introduce her to the board. And we look forward to having her with us for the next 3 months, and she's going to be able to help us out tremendously. So thank you guys for allowing me to do that.
Angie, I just want to say thank you for your
approval. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And with that, gentlemen, unless you have any questions, that concludes my
presentation. Any Questions? Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Thank you,
Chairman. Ms.
Chayna? Very little, gentlemen. We do have mediation coming up on one of our lawsuits that we're involved in. I'll let you go after that, but everything else is moving forward as we...
Good deal. Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Chayna. You think about them?
I do not have anything.
We do.
No, we do? Okay.
We just want to remind the board that, of course, trim and budget is going to be starting. In September, you know, we do have to kind of rearrange one of the meetings. We don't have exact dates yet. We kind of have it planned out how we think we're going to have to do it, but it is very important that all of you guys are able to be there.
Just September only?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. That's all we have.
That's it. Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Adams? Mr. Woods?
I don't have anything. Good.
Mr. Hatch?
Yeah. Centennial turned out awesome. Remind everyone of the May 7th, Paul, county and city meeting at the library.
Yes, sir. I believe it was 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock at the library.
At the library?
Library. It was moved.
Should be a pretty good meeting. There's been some private individuals coming from private business. I encourage everyone to try their very level best to be there.
Be there. Mr. Osteen?
Yes, I'd like to apologize for not being at the groundbreaking ceremony for the Old Town Fire Department. Mr. Simon was coming to the prison where I'm employed, and we had all hands on deck, and we were taking everything. It was real smooth when he showed up there, and everything went very well. He was really appreciative of all those citizens and willing to help us do whatever we need to do to succeed and whatever we have going on. And I just wanted to apologize.
Thank you. Mr. Stevenson?
I don't have anything other than I need to get forward. Scotty, look at this county calling me. Keep popping up something about hair drop or hair or something else. Somebody done something. And just keep trying these.
We have a young person.
Right. Here, yeah, a young person. I'll be driving down the road. It's like it's in your hand there.
Pull it back
up.
That's
supposed to be old or whatever.
Yeah. I was like, you
heard
me 12
year old. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is like a tracking thing, like a tile. They're like getting tiles. This is what this is. Well, I got a hoop on my phone. Well, Jamie, you been watching?
I've been tracking to see where you're at. No, we had a good meeting today. Glad to see everyone show up and participate and hammer. So that's always a plus there. So smiling faces. So glad to have y'all. And so now it's the public's turn. I've got one man that written down a paper, so I'm going to let him go first, Mr. Nelson.
So should we give your full name so the clerk can record it? That's all we need. Thank you.
I'm here representing the COP's county president, captain there. On March 14th, we had a meeting at our building where we were directed by a sergeant from the department, and they gave us some different policy sheets, and one was for directing traffic and traffic control. We're all DOT certified, but for some reason they had to come down and talk to us about it. Another thing that they brought up was policy 125, which covers the volunteer program. And then going over it, in the organization, the volunteer program, it states that volunteers will be assigned. Volunteers while on routine duty shall be considered volunteers of the Dutch County Sheriff's Office and shall have no permanent membership in the BCSO benefit package, pension, or compensation. That concerned a few of our members, so I called a meeting. Captain Danny Forehand, Lieutenant Wayne Clayton, who are our liaison and training personnel. And I asked him specifically about that, and it's like pulling teeth to try to get a direct answer. But basically they said, well, from what it says, you do not have any insurance. Now, we have been insured by the county in the past. So it just means our personnel have been out there for the last couple of years with no insurance. And right now, I'm the only person that's responding. I'm not going to ask the personnel to go out there and put themselves in harm's way as well as liability to lose everything that they own. That's just not right. So I'm asking the board if they would look into it as to why we don't have insurance on the department now that we always have in the past.
I don't think that we provide it. I think it's the sheriff's department.
Right, the sheriff.
Can you look into that, Paul?
That's what I'll be the sheriff's department issues. I mean, the CMP program falls under the sheriff.
Sure.
Or under the office of the
yes, sir.
So, and I may have misunderstood, but are you referring to like health insurance, or are you talking about liability insurance?
No, we're talking about injury and liability while we're working.
So I think there might have been some confusion there, but I'll talk to Captain beforehand, but with all of your concerns and all the meetings with the sheriff.
That's why I have a meeting with them, and I got no direct answer except that's what it seems to say. Okay. And if that's the case, you don't have personnel to help the sheriff's department.
They supply y'all with vehicle stuff to drive a lot of times, don't they?
Excuse me?
Doesn't supply you with a vehicle?
We have two vehicles.
It's supplied by the sheriff's department.
Yes.
That has.
Yeah. I think maybe you should talk to them again. I'm thinking there had to be some misunderstanding, like Mr. Paul said, between liability and health insurance, because they're totally different issues.
Correct. But that's why I had the meeting with them. Are we covered when we're in the field, while we're performing our duties?
As you should be, honestly.
You should be. Liability insurance.
Meet with them and see if they can get it resolved. If not, come back to us and we'll see if we can help with the process.
Make them understand it.
We will. I mean, each one of us has got a contact there. We'll. I know I will reach out to them also on this matter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is J.D. Nobles. I'm on the town council in Horseshoe Beach, and I'm just here today to ask the commission and staff, you know, we was hit by a hurricane back in August 30th, 2023, and our canals and our wind canal has got filled in quite a bit. It's hindering our commercial fishing industry. I'm also a business owner there. I run a commercial charter business. I got a skinny water boat, so it don't really affect me, but I'm looking out for the shrimp boats. They're continuously pulling up debris out of the mud that the cleaners couldn't get. I know and understand that we're in the dredging process. The funds have been issued. And I'm here today just to kind of get an update, ask for your guys' help to push this along as speedy as possible, along with the county park in Horseshoe, and just get an update of where we are on our dredging of the canals process.
We want it done just as soon as possible, but
Darren walked out in.
Brown did give us a report on that.
If you recall, I think it was just maybe the last meeting.
There's Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Sorry.
You walked in at the right time.
What's the question?
I was just asking to see if we could get an update of where we are in the processes of getting a speedy canal dredging down in Horseshoe Beach.
In the last 4 months, we've received enough money to dredge them. That money has been sent to the county. There's a process that has to be legally done to advertise and bid out those projects, no different than our fire stations. That money is sitting in our accounts right now. I'm not sure where the county is on the bid process, but there will likely be, I would say, probably a 30-day bid process for the contractors that want to bid on that. Once that contract is awarded, then they will have a set amount of time to begin construction, shall we say, and begin that process.
Is the park included in that also?
I'm sorry.
The park?
He asked about the Horseshoe Park also.
Yeah, the Horseshoe Park is not part of that money. The Horseshoe Park is being repaired under FEMA funds that are being claimed because of storm damage. This is two separate pots of money. That is no different than what we discussed a moment ago with the Sherrod Park. Those items are being submitted to FEMA, have been submitted to FEMA. They have been reviewed locally in the Gainesville office. They have been forwarded to Atlanta, to the Atlanta office, and we're awaiting FEMA to tell us what projects they will approve, which likely will be all of them, and what amounts they will fund based on our recommendations, engineers' recommendations, so on and so forth. Once they agree that that is the amount they will fund, then they will send those checks. As I told the commission a few moments ago, 2 weeks ago, I think, they approved the picnic tables and things of that sort at, I think it was Sherrod Park. I just got that check yesterday. So as they approve those things, those checks come. As those checks come, then we can begin repair and remodel and work. The problem is if we begin remodeling work on those and all of a sudden the project is declined by FEMA for some ungodly reason, then the county is liable for all funds put into that project. So our recommendation to the county is to not start those projects until the money is guaranteed unless they have the money in the bank, and I don't think they do. But that's kind of where those are. Any projects that are submitted due to direct storm damage, you've got the park itself, it's under three or four projects, your floating docks, different things, the building, things of that sort. Same with Sherrod Island, we've got the beach reconstruction, we've got the pavilion rebuilds, the bathrooms, the wells, the tables and things of that sort that go under. Each of those are separate projects. All of those have been submitted, and as they are approved by FEMA, we can receive those funds and begin work. But we don't recommend any work be done until we get the money because they may say no. FEMA is known for not being as agreeable as we are. Does that answer your question there?
Yeah, I just want to go back with a follow-up question on the dredging. And an advocate some month and a half ago, it had to have been before the February 15th workshop that you guys performed. I'd seen in there was some highlights of the notes from the meeting in the advocate that said the dredging had a value. I believe you made the comment, Mr. Darien, $2.25 million.
I don't want to say off the top of my head. I don't remember what that number was.
Yes, sir. And then in the workshop, I pulled the minutes from the February 15th, I believe it was, the workshop. You had stated in there again it was $2.25 million for the Horseshoe Beach dredging. I attended the day of the bill passing in Tallahassee. I went there personally. And Senator Simon, along with Jason Shaw, had insured Horseshoe Beach and all of our town council and mayor when we attended that meeting. They had set aside $5 million. So for the Horseshoe Beach dredging, if that $5 million the scope down there has, you know, I don't know if y'all got estimates yet or how that changed from $5 million to $2.5 million.
There was a lot of conversation about $5 million. I heard that number at the Capitol, but there was not a number given to us by engineers to submit for $5 million. We submitted the cost that was proposed to us, whatever that number is.
Yeah. So that scope of work, that's ever who proposed that number, I was just trying to gather that scope of work as a town council member down there and see if that's going to justify us, or are we going to have to do half project, full project, or
again, I cannot remember the numbers. I have a lot of numbers in my brain. whatever number that was submitted to our department by the engineering firm that submitted that and surveyed it and said this project can be done for this amount,
okay,
was submitted to the state, whether it be 200,000, 200 million. That number was submitted to the state in that pot of money and was approved at that requested amount. So if the engineers did not submit the proper numbers to do the project, then of course there will need to be some more money found. We submitted what we were told it would cost to the penny, and it was approved as we submitted it to the penny. So from our understanding, the cost of dredging the canals in Horseshoe, the cost of dredging the canals in Swanee, the cost of rebuilding the Sherrod Beach, the cost of two fire stations, one of which is Horseshoe Beaches, is all approved at 100% as was presented and as was recommended by those engineers. We didn't make up these numbers.
Okay.
We put in the numbers that we were given. They were submitted to the state. They were approved by the state. They are sitting in our bank account. And as soon as we can get the bid process moving on the canal dredging, as soon as I can find someone to sell me some land in Horseshoe Beach to put a fire station on,
as soon as we can
get the engineering firm, which I think they're moving now on Sherrod Beach, those things are happening. But there are processes that have to be in place for that. Now, again, if the number that was given to us is not sufficient to do dredging, we turned in what we were getting. If there's more there, then yes, sir, you will need to look for other funding. But we turned in what we were given as far as the recommended cost to perform that project.
Okay.
And
that's
fair. It's just it has to be bid out and it has to go through this process.
Part of the application process requires you to submit a cost estimate. And that was the cost estimate that was submitted with the application.
Okay, let me ask this question here. You said on the dredging for Horseshoe and Swanee, we're ready to bid that?
We are in the process of building a scope of work and preparing an advertisement to put out for bid.
So within, what, a month, 2 weeks, 2 days?
We're hoping within the next, you know, 14 to 21 days to have the scope and the advertisement ready to send out.
Then it's a 30-day advertisement. Is that more answer your question?
I thought you guessed
2 months.
Okay, I thought it
was. So the only other thing, Ken, you know, the canals are within Horseshoe Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Can we be part in Horseshoe Town Council or Mayor, be part of scope review before you go to advertising?
The scope of work is going to be the dredge the canals.
I know, scope of work. I mean, we're going 10 feet, we're going 2 foot deep. We're going 20 foot wide, 40. I just would like to be part of
the engineering.
Yeah, the engineers.
Submitted as far as the cost estimate on
right.
The width of the canals and 18 to 24 inches deep. I mean, that's what the scope is.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
If anything to push it faster would be great, but it doesn't sit anywhere.
We wish it was done months ago.
I know. Yeah. Thank y'all.
I mean, we know what kind of trouble y'all having getting in. It's bad.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else?
I'm starting off. I was at Junior High before you came in. Fiber's always a positive thing. So I don't think I've had the opportunity to speak in a little while. But I have first off, so I want to thank you all publicly on record, all that, our county commission, our road supervisor, Steve Hutchinson, Tim with his department, all the departments coming together to support our efforts, particularly at the centennial. It was a great collaborative effort between our city and our county to clean up our entire downtown area and really throughout, the county, honestly. And so it was cool to see everybody coming together. I want to thank Tim, and I've not said this, and you guys too, to always supply those donations for the cost of cleanup. I've forgotten to say that a couple of times, and we appreciate that. And I'm Karen Van Arnum, Cross City Restorer, and
I've
already said that. Yeah. But I want to mention some of our members too. I know I refer to Barbie. Barbie and Verna are meeting about once a month at 7 a.m. at Putnam Lodge, and Ms. Beverly Pivacek hosts us there, and so she's on the team. Ms. Christy Roberts is on the team. I will try to add a few, but y'all often see Katrina Van Arnum and Sheila Farson of Anti-Drug Coalition. They're on our team, and what we are is just a community impact team
that were restoring, revitalizing, and really just cleaning up our town and throughout the county. So some buildings I want to highlight that we've done recently with the help of our work crews, Mr. David Ellison and Bradley Hurst, and that team of inmate work crew is like, we couldn't do what's happening. So if you've noticed, Ms. Holly Houghton's a U.S. Extension Agent's office. It's a different color now. And so it's right down here on the corner next to Marist Bank, right across from City Hall. So we've changed that look a little bit. And we're really trying to build a vision of cohesiveness throughout our town and bring up that level of excellence. And it just makes everyone bend down and pick up the paper ride and the trash and hold their heads up. So we're doing that. If you've noticed, if you've seen our work crew, or your work crew, over at the Scarlett's office, supervisor of elections needed some attention, so that's happening. Our team paid to have the United Christian Service completely from the roof down. That was our monies on that. Really, you guys support us in the labor, and we appreciate that. So United Christian Service and the Advocate, and we're working to restore the original Dixie County Advocate logo on top of that building. So we've got some projects and visions throughout our city. And then the other areas that I want to thank you again about are our welcome signs. I think, I don't know if I mentioned those before, because they've been a little work in progress for a little while. So we have nice welcome to Dixie County signs on either end of the county now, and they're all uniform, and there's one that says welcome to Cross City right here in Shamrock, but coming into Cross City. And so we're working to get those palm trees. I've been working with Stevie on that to get the guys to dig the whole thing to be 3 foot wide, 3 foot deep. And so we had to get some clearance on all of that. So hopefully that's coming soon. Once that is done, our Restore Renew Tank team will be paying to have those landscapes similar to the Cross City sign. So can you think of anything else, Barbie?
You
just trying to think of projects. So we appreciate y'all. If you see throughout the town and county, if you see an area that you could keep clean or keep an eye on, we appreciate that. I think you know just coming in 351, how nice it is, and really throughout the area. So we appreciate the team effort that's happening. It's good to see. And then my final request is, as I say this twice coming into town, so I live right out on right down 351 coming in, I'm scurrying into my little gym and back and forth into this meeting. And there's a cardboard box. Have y'all seen it? Have you passed it? It's sitting right on coming down 351 right here, just a few blocks. So if you have a pickup truck in this room, there's a cardboard box, and it looks like it's full of cardboard. It's about this big. And if not, I'll throw it in the back of mine. But anybody leaves here and heads that way, if you'll stop and just put it, and if you have a dumpster, you could do that too. That's real quick. But thank you for all of your help, your support, and all the departments come together to help make a difference. I think everyone's seen it. I hope y'all are getting a lot of.
Yes, ma'am.
And the centennial, the motorcycle thing was above and beyond, so we appreciate Commissioner Stevenson at Matt for our centennial celebration. So working together, we appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Cherry.
Well, I'm here on behalf of Freeport Electric and let you give you a fiber update. We finally have got fiber that took the Horseshoe Road to our hut. The line comes from Horseshoe and it's going back up to Spell Street Church. It's energized now. We're activated to see how it's working. Anybody that lives from, I would say, Jack Roberts Curve on up, if they're interested in fiber by Central Florida Electric, definitely send them an email. I do have some brochures out there to get the thing speeded up and expedited. Karen, you're in on this. Also, we're having the 85th annual meeting of Central Florida Electric this Saturday. It starts at 8 o'clock and it's going to be at the 20 Live Farm. Excuse me, I'm late. Swanee Livestock Fair starting at 8 o'clock. We do know that the crackers run at the same time. If people attend to that, any member of record that goes to the annual meeting signs in gets $30 off their electric bill. Something that people need to know, if a spouse, and it's got to be a spouse of a member, like say it's a member, if the power is in my name, and a spouse can go and register for me
that I can't make the meeting or whatever, and it'll take $30 off the bill. What we have run into in the past is like a parent, hey, I want to sign up for my son or my kid, and that you can't do it. You can't. It's got to be spouse or member direct member consumer of record on the file to get that. The meeting started at 8 o'clock. It's been asked, and I'll bring it up here that we were going to have a board of director annual meeting here. Our district, our board of director passed away. They're going to re-advertise in our district here for Mr. EOC position. They're not going to have the annual meeting or determine who gets that position since Mr. Kenny passed. I have been told that they will resubmit, find out other applicants that might be running for that position, then ballots will be passed out to the members in that district to go ahead for a revote. And I do have some information for anybody, especially along in that area. We do plan on going down to the town of Horseshoe Beach to get one. It goes out four directions. The first one here is Trump Creek, then it'll start building the area. We're looking to go down to Horseshoe around July. And I'll be at your meeting tonight there to have it from to talk to y'all. I just got mine. I like it. I think
you're
yep.
Sure.
Are you?
I'm learning how to use it, yeah.
And anything that comes up that you guys might have concerning power or otherwise, I can kind of be a go-between that can get things expedited for you, especially, you know, if you have anything with right-of-way issues or that. And you reach out to our local people and you can't, then contact me and I'll see if I can get the right people on it for you. I only have like 17 or 18 of these left. The street prices on one side of $300 to bring it into your home. We now had a couple issues to where people buy pieces of property. And got into water line that they didn't know.
They just brought
and we tried to ask the consumers if they know where we're digging, to try to bring it into wherever your power line coming in. So overhead, underground, and coming in. But just kind of keep in mind, it's happening, and it's there. And we're here, and we have the question. So we're glad to take it tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak?
Thank you for your time,
guys. Don't get on that mode.
Got anybody else like to speak?
Motion. I forgot one thing, though. Don't forget that Mother's Day is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Don't forget out the Mother's up there.
Yeah.
Well, then we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Need a motion to adjourn.
Post.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Secretary, all in favor. No. Can I sign them papers in the morning? Yeah. Can I sign your paper? Come see you first thing in the morning. Because I need to be doing. Where at?
The blue.
I hear that's blue.
I
have
the wires.
I mean, he can sign it in.
Okay.
I'm sure he did.
Speech. Is that it? Only one.
I don't understand what it is. I got two games. I got two.